Hello, welcome to your meditation practice as part of the Open Heart Project. My name is Susan Piper. I'm very happy that we could sit together. We'll sit together today for 10 minutes and we'll start very soon. So please take your seat and get settled, whether you're on a cushion on the floor with your legs crossed loosely in front of you or in a chair, which is fine. And if you sit in a chair, please sit with your feet flat on the floor. And as you get settled, I want to just say a few things about the third Brahmavihara, or the third of the four immeasurable qualities. The four immeasurables are the four qualities that we each, you, me, everybody, possess in unending quantity. You can never run out of them. You can't destroy them. You can't lose them. You got them. And they have the power to create a world of sanity and friendliness and decency and strength. So they're a big deal. The first immeasurable quality is loving kindness. You possess immeasurable quantity of it, which is arises from the willingness to see the truth, which is that underneath all of our nuttiness, we're all alike. The second immeasurable quality is called compassion, which refers to the capacity that you have and I have and all beings have to feel another person's pain in our own heart. And the third immeasurable quality, which we'll talk about today, is called sympathetic joy, which is akin to compassion and also the opposite, in the sense that if compassion means I can feel your pain in my heart, sympathetic joy means, oh, and also, by the way, I can feel your joy in my heart. So when you're happy, I can feel that as my own happiness. I have sympathetic joy in unending quantity. I have an unending capacity for sympathetic joy. There's no one's happiness that I cannot feel as my own. Now, I know this can seem very challenging because people who we are rightfully very upset with, we don't want them to be happy. We take unsympathetic joy when they are made happy. Okay, that's cool. I'm with you on that. Let's not start there. Let's start with the people we love. Let's start with people we don't have any feelings about. And begin to notice when you observe someone else having something good happen to them, finding their own joy, can you take it in? Can you pause and actually feel their happiness in your heart? It doesn't have to be a real person. It could be someone on TV. It can be anything, something that you're reading about. Fiction, nonfiction, it doesn't matter. But can you develop the habit of pausing when you encounter joy and allowing it to touch you? Now, that's very, can be quite dicey. Which sounds like, why? Who doesn't want to feel joy? Well, we don't trust it. We don't trust it. On one hand, well, I shouldn't get too happy about this because it could go away, which it will. So you can kind of stop worrying about it. Or we think, well, there's a finite capacity, a finite quantity of joy in the world. And if you get 2 units, that means I'm dinged 2 units. In other words, your happiness gives me sympathetic grumpiness because I'm comparing myself to you and wishing I had it for myself. And now that you have it, I probably can't have it. I know it might, I mean, I feel that kind of thing all the time. You know, human beings feel these things, but we can reverse that. We can work with that. How do I know that? Because we're meditators and we know how to work with the thoughts in our mind and the feelings in our heart. So the practice of sympathetic joy is a fantastic practice. And it also brings you face to face with your stinginess and your grudges and your fears. So in that sense, it's an extra special good practice. So to do it, just start to notice when there is joy around you. That in itself is great. Of course, if it's your child or your loved one, yay, great. try not to spend too much time thinking, what does this mean? Or how can I do this for them? Or why can they get more of this? And just feel it. What does their joy feel like to you when you tune into it? And you can continue if you, you know, see people walking down the street, if you happen to be in a place where people walk down the street and you see them smiling at each other, you can take pleasure in that. And there's this sense of, wow, the storehouse of joy that is available to me is endless. It's immeasurable. All I have to do is look around me. Now, of course, when you look around you, you see all sorts of things that do not give you joy. That's cool. They're there too. But that does not invalidate the things that do give you joy. And it doesn't just have to be even people from whom you draw a sense of joy, or relationships, or seeing people smile at each other. All those things are fantastic. But if you see something beautiful, an object, or something in nature, you can feel the joy of the beauty too in your heart. That counts as sympathetic joy or sympathetic appreciation for what is wonderful and beautiful. Now, this isn't saying the sympathetic joy, mudita in Sanskrit, I think, maybe Pali, is not saying go be, you know, a Pollyanna and pretend everything's fine. That is contraindicated. But when you look, you see, well, there is joy. There is beauty. Even if it's just this shoot coming up from the ground, which is not a small thing. Or somebody smiled at me when I walked by them and it felt really good. Or I tasted something, it was delicious. Let that joy be real. And when you start looking for opportunities to rejoice, you will find them everywhere. Now, I'm not a particularly optimistic, sunshiny, kittens and balloons kind of person. So I'm not saying that like, oh, but hey, if you just look around, it's a beautiful world. Although I am saying if you just look around, it's a beautiful world, and a treacherous world, and a terrifying world, and a phenomenal world, and all the things. But because things are difficult and painful and anxiety producing, that does not invalidate the joy that is also present. So I'll close this short talk by sharing with you something that guy said to me, Tulku Tundub Rinpoche. You may have heard me mention it before. I try to work it into conversation whenever possible. You may think, well, how can I take joy? There's so many problems. How can I find joy in my own spiritual practice? Because I suck at it. I have so far to go. How can I find joy in this world that is so treacherous? Those are good questions. The advice of Tulku Tundub Rinpoche was, don't fear how far you have to go. It's not don't think about it. Think about it. Plan, strategize, be smart. But rather than fearing how far you have to go, rejoice in how far you have come. And when you look at your life, and when you look at the world through certain lenses and on certain topics, and when you look at your own spiritual journey, you will see progress has been made. There is still a long way to go, obviously. It's extremely difficult and long way to go. But that does not invalidate how far you have come. So the more time you spend rejoicing in how far you have come, and the less time you spend in fearing how far you have to go, which is an unknown, it's the future, the more energy, compassion, wisdom, and power you will have. So rejoice in how far you've come is not just, oh, I'll try to find a way to feel good. It's actually very practical advice for navigating every day of our lives with wakefulness and kindness. Don't take my word for that. Try rejoicing and let me know what happens. And let's sit together. Begin your practice by establishing your posture, which basically means sit up straight. And relax. Let the hands rest, palms down, just above the knee or at mid-thigh. Feel the strength of your back body and the softness of your front body. And let your belly relax. And let your shoulders soften. Mouth is closed. The lips and teeth are slightly parted. And let everything related to speech relax. The muscles of speaking, the tongue, the jaw, the throat, and the inclination to speak. You can also relax because you don't need it right now. The breath is natural, in and out through the nose. It's just breathing. No breathing technique. The eyes are open and the gaze is cast down to a spot in front, somewhere that feels comfortable. And let there be a sense in the eyes of receiving rather than seeking. And let the eyes be soft. Let your attention rest on the breath, which means feel the breath. Feel the body breathing. That's all you have to do, is let the breath breathe you, as it were. Just relax with the sensation of breath. The breath will carry you. Feel the in-breath and feel the out-breath. The taking in and the letting go. We're not observing it, we're feeling it. Let your thoughts be as they are. They will come and go on their own. You don't have to do anything about them. It doesn't matter if they're a lot or a little, if they're cheerful or violent or silly, doesn't matter. Just let them be. They'll just pass through. Should you notice, however, that you've become absorbed in thought to the point where you've forgotten about your breath, great. Like you're totally carried away by thought. Oh, okay, good. Notice that. Label that thinking. So you start to discern, this is thinking, that is meditating. Thinking, then just let go. Whatever the thought is, it doesn't matter. Just let go. Gently come back to the sensation of breath. And begin again. Letting the breath lead you through meditation. Feeling the body breathe. This is our practice, and we'll sit together. Thank you so much for your practice. Thank you for practicing with me. And thank you for practicing together.